Do you ever notice the mountains and the hills around here? I mean, do you really pay attention to them? It's really incredible, isn't it? I always feel kind of like we're in this valley of grace, and God's got us, you know? We're protected. There's a sense of that kind of warm surrounding reassurance, strength. And when we look to the mountaintops, you know, and see sometimes different lighting, especially, that can draw forth some inspiration for us, our creative inspiration, or just awe and wonder. Or maybe even we go to the mountaintops. If you ever get up to the summits, you know, if you go to the ridges over here, or maybe to Mount Diablo, and you can see the bay, you can see even the Golden Gate from Mount Diablo. That too is a reminder to us, because it expands our vision that more is possible, that more can be seen from that bird's eye view, that we can see our neighborhood and the surrounding towns. And, you know, there's that sense of expansiveness that happens as a result of this kind of beholding from the mountaintop, or beholding the mountaintop. And of course, Jesus told us about faith and the mountains when he said, "You only need faith the size of a mustard seed to say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move." Looking at the mountain as the challenges in our lives, and the possibility that through the power of spoken word and faith, we can actually move mountains that might be in our way. So today we're going to explore faith as a mountain, and ourselves as calling that forth from within us as well, and seeing how that might support your individual spiritual journey and our collective journey as a community and a humanity and all that good stuff. John Muir said, "The mountains are calling, and I must go." So let's go. The beginning of my ministry was actually connected to mountains. I started out with a spiritual travel and nature retreat ministry. And that happened, actually. The very first trip that we took was to the mountains. I was living in Kansas City, Missouri, not a lot of mountains around there. And one of my classmates had become the minister in Evergreen, Colorado. So a group of us from Kansas City came and joined the folks from Unity of Evergreen, and we did a retreat called Summit Your Dreams. And so over about 3 days, we called forth our own dreams, the things that we really wanted to have happen in our lives, and found ways to support each other in that and really bolster our faith about that happening. And on the last day, we really put feet to our prayers, literally, and we climbed up a 14er. Anybody know what a 14er is? Yes, Carl, of course, knows. Tell us, Carl.
Well, there's a mountain that's over 14,000 feet above sea level.
That's right. Yeah. See, he's got a lot more information. See Carl for more information. But yeah, that's true. 14,000 feet, so it's quite a big challenge. And for most of us, we'd never done anything like that. So it was, you know, that kind of scary, excited feeling that you get when you're about to take on something like that together. There was one man in the group who, during that process leading up, had decided he was going to quit smoking, a habit he had had since, yeah. Since he was very young, he had smoked, and he did quit smoking through the process leading up to the retreat, and then, you know, starting to feel his lungs more moving up to the summit. There was a woman who I don't think had ever hiked more than a mile in her life and thought, "There's no way I can do this." She did it. In fact, I think we all made it to the summit. And when we got up there, we had carried with us these flags that had symbols of our dreams on them. And of course, we carried our dreams in our hearts. And so we celebrated at the top of the summit, and we, you know, all signed the guest registry and probably lingered for a few minutes. It's usually pretty chilly up at the summits, and then headed down. But it was quite a feat. So there we are. The first Unity Rising trip on the summit. I don't even remember now the name of that mountain, actually, but I could probably look that up. Anyway, so it's that experience, you know, especially together. When we have experiences like that together, it really helps bolster our faith. When we come together in spiritual community or spiritual partnership or friendship, companionship, we can help each other really know that thing, that thing that we have in our minds, in our hearts, that dream, that desire, it is indeed possible. Especially when you hang out with people who dwell in the space of possibility, like Emily Dickinson did. You know, it's that kind of support. And so if you're hanging out with folks that kind of drain your possibilities, you might consider shifting friends a little bit and really being in that kind of energy together, or to do these kinds of retreats and workshops that help support. That's how we bolstered our faith for our dreams, this group. That's how we activated the faith within us, was through our togetherness, through our shared faith in spirit, our shared faith in the divine within us as unity folks, and our belief system, our faith in our own dreams, and our faith in each other. So what is faith? I think of it as, I define it as a knowing in the heart. It's that kind of just sort of seated knowing that something, there's a sense of something solid that I feel I know even without proof. In Hebrews, it's defined as faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Sometimes our dreams and desires are the things that help us really activate our faith and walk with us through that journey. And sometimes it's misfortune or discontent that actually is the thing that kicks in our faith. As Reverend Michael Beckwith says, we are pushed by pain until we're pulled by a vision. And it's often true, right? In our lives, it's the pain pushes us forward. And then if we're really on our spiritual journey and becoming more conscious of it, there is an activation of our faith and there is a pulling toward that which we are dreaming about having happen, even if it's something of some kind of moving out of some kind of challenge that is before us. It's a kind of, you know, if we get ourselves in a bind, the first place to look to get out of that bind, the first thing to unbind really is our faith. Because our faith is bound up then in and kept from expressing fully because of thoughts that are limiting it, ways that we're believing and thinking that are keeping it small. And so during our moments of discontent, we actually have an opportunity for things to open up. It's an opportunity that has arrived that can help us activate our faith and move through whatever is available to us in front of us. You know, those passionate pleas to please move this thing from my path, from this dis-ease perhaps within me or whatever it may be that we are dealing with. We can have those kinds of prayers that literally or metaphorically bring us to our knees. And what it brings us to then is our faith. That's where we go, isn't it? You know, the old saying, somebody's praying and it's like, oh my, has it come to that? You know, but there are those moments, right? And when we get there, what are we confronting? What are we bringing forth? Is what we're meeting is our faith. And so it's that that we want to free, because then a way will be shown through. Faith is limitless, but if we bind up all of its power, then maybe one thought, one belief at a time, we can begin to open up its way to express through us. I mean, here's some examples. You know, how can we direct our faith into bringing forth the innate wholeness in ourselves if we are saying things like, disease runs in my family, and therefore I'm at risk of getting this thing, or it looks like I'm getting symptoms like mom or dad had, and so, well, that's genetic. And so it's that kind of conversation that we have, thoughts and words that begin to bind up our faith, that begin to keep us from the realm of possibility. It's things like, you know, I can't pursue my dreams because I'm too old, if anybody ever says something like that to themselves. You know, well, you're not going to realize that dream then, if that's what you're walking around saying and believing. But maybe that dream or some part of that dream or some way that that dream has morphed for you is still very much alive in your heart, and yet you're shutting it down by those thoughts of lack and limitation. If we want to succeed at anything at all, we can't walk around saying, I can't afford to follow the guidance that Spirit just gave me, in whatever ways we think we can't afford it. So we help move ourselves from an unbelief to a belief, from a seeming impossibility to a possibility. And we reach into faith, which is that invisible realm that then brings forth into visibility that thing that we are holding in our heart, wishing for or wishing to move aside so that our good can come forth. And we do that by really essentially weeding our mind. If you're a gardener, you'll appreciate the metaphor of just going in there and noticing, paying attention to the thoughts and the words that come forth that are about lack and limitation, and one at a time beginning to discard that. And when we do that, then we're creating a fertile soil, a place for divine ideas to land and to grow, to take root, to bear fruit. And so that's really our work. So much of our work is in this capacity, right? In this mental intellectual realm, in the surface mind that really is meant to be a much deeper place of faith, of divine intelligence and more. And we open to it when we take on some of these basic practices that we've been talking about in New Thought since, 100 and some years ago, 130 years ago now at least. So, our spiritual food is dependent on our spiritual labor, essentially. And so it's the work we do, the spiritual practices that we do, the walking of the spiritual principles that really then brings forth the yield, the harvest, the good, the abundance, the spiritual food that we have been seeking. Have you ever faced a challenge that you thought was insurmountable in your life? You ever been there? And look, now here you are over the mountain, right? Or through it, or however you did that. Maybe you're even facing one of those right now in your life. Roxy was someone who struggled with addiction, and she had periods of abstinence, but she always returned to drugs and alcohol as a way of coping with her stress and her pain. When she came to a low point in life, she felt like she couldn't get past that mountain, whatever it was. She could never, ever move that mountain. Then one day a friend gave her a spiritual book, and she started to read it, and it started to bring forth those old feelings and beliefs that were connected to a faith that she had grown up with. And it gave specific instructions of how to meditate, something she'd never done before. It's very specific. Light a candle, sit down, do this to watch your thoughts and your breath. And she did it. She followed all the steps, and she started doing it every day. And she started feeling better, and she started feeling stronger. And then one day, she had a bad night and used a lot, and things happened that she wished wouldn't have happened. And, that happens to us too, right? We take a step forward, and sometimes it feels like we've slid back many steps, or that mountain suddenly has become an avalanche. Anybody ever been there? But really, in truth, even though we may have slid back, or, the Baptists like to call that backsliding, right? We may have backslid, but it doesn't, I believe that there's always a cumulative advancement in our consciousness that has taken place. And so even though it may feel like we slid back to start, we never really slid back to start. We just, took a step back. But we know from our own experience of where we've been and what we've achieved and how we've succeeded and how we've triumphed over difficulties in our lives that we aren't back at that starting place. We're just frustrated because we've gone backwards a little bit. So that was really the case with Roxy. She recognized that. And some of that knowing for her came forth in a wonderful experience that she called grace. She said that day after that night of using, she just simply wasn't interested anymore. That suddenly it was the easiest thing, she said, I've ever done. There was no struggle. I just didn't want it anymore. She said I was back to my natural state of being. And the struggles of life, they didn't stop, but grace gave me the ability to cope. And then grace handed me all of these things in my life that I had desired before, but were blurred, the way was blurred by the using. And now I had the ability to go to college, and I was given a great job that helped support me through that. And she said, and then on from there, I got my master's degree. And then I met the love of my life. And all these things came forth out of the way that was opened to grace through faith, through spiritual practice, through the commitment to that very base that she had. So that grace, she said, came through to me at a very significant entry point in my life. And when I was returned to my natural state through that faithful practice, it felt like I could overcome any seemingly impossible mountain that came my way to climb. Faith helps us try again and again and again to achieve our goals because we begin to experience the success and the reminder that we are not alone, that we are in a co-creative process. And when we know that we are there with the presence and with whoever else might be supporting us in our lives, we know we can get through. We know we can succeed, achieve, realize our dreams, whatever it is that's on our heart in that particular time. Todd Endress was surfing in Monterey Bay's Marina State Beach, off that beach, in 2007 when he was attacked by a great white shark. And after the attack, a school of dolphins surrounded him. And he said they kept the shark at bay. He said the dolphins were jumping on top of me and they were swarming all around me and they kind of created a wall between me and the shark. He said they saved my life. And it was a pretty bad attack. His friends came to his aid. They got him to the beach after that. And of course, the medics came. And they sewed 500 stitches in his back and 200 staples. And he lost half of his body's blood, and it took 6 weeks to regenerate it. He was described by the Discovery Channel and other places where this was featured as a religious man. And he said he described this experience as a true miracle. He said there are too many things that came together for it to be a coincidence. He overcame any fear he had with his faith even after that, and he went back to surfing as soon as he could because he loved it that much. And he didn't condemn sharks. In fact, he appreciated and revered them and became a very outspoken, vocal advocate for the protection of great white sharks. Faith bolsters our ability to overcome fear. And faith also fans the flames of our passions so that we can get out in the world and act from that place of faith that does good in the world in whatever ways are ours to do and whatever contributions that are put on our heart to give, sometimes out of challenging, life-threatening situations like Todd had. Faith assures us that we're not alone all along the way. If we can tune into it and not block it with the things that we talked about before. Just like those hills and mountains all around us remind us that we are not alone, that we are in a kind of valley of grace, of beauty. The voice of Spirit speaks in Revelation and says this, "Listen, I am standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice, let me in. I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." When we commune with the spirit of our being, anything is possible. We recognize that. And so we just need to listen, right? To answer the door. Opportunity is knocking. And when we do, then we open the way for communion with that presence, for communion with that power, with that love and faith that lives inside of us. And when we open that up and practice in such a way that we practice the presence every day, take our daily bread in this way, we build the solidity of faith beneath our feet to do anything that is ours, that is knocking on the door of our hearts to do. And then we can think and feel in alignment with Spirit better as we practice in this way. We begin to strengthen our knowing, releasing our limiting beliefs, and really feeling like we're in that co-creative dance with Spirit. That's our third principle in unity, that we co-create our lives through the power of our thoughts, through the power of our words, through the power of our feelings, and essentially through our faith. Affirmative prayer helps us do this. It helps us align. It's a practice in unity that we use frequently. And it's really about the power of calling forth the thoughts and the words that keep us on the path that we want to go on. For example, we can start with a release statement. When we notice that we are having limiting thoughts, when we notice that something is in our way, that is standing in the way of our good, and we can speak to it, this limiting thought has no power over me. I release it now. I say no to it, and I create space for grace. We can even affirm that our practice stays strong. I practice until I have faith-filled knowing within my heart that my dream is already realized in Spirit. And sometimes that's a process. You know, at first we think, well, it's a possibility. And then as we bolster it, it suddenly becomes a probability. And then over time, it becomes a knowing. That's faith as it builds, as it becomes more in our consciousness. And finally, we know we have this strength. I have faith like a mountain. And whatever this is, I'm facing it with that kind of strength. Finally, we can be faith in action like Todd was. Act and speak the truth once we have really solidified it within ourselves. And we can act and speak the truth before that. And we just get better at it the more we do this inner work. So what do you want this year as your Christmas miracle? I encourage you to dream really, really, really big. Stretch the borders of your faith with whatever that is in your heart to be and to do. And the full realization of this or something better will happen for you. Advent is a time of preparation. It's 4 weeks to prepare for the rebirth and the knowing once again, the clear connection with this innate, what we call Christ Spirit, that we connect with and that we become to know. And that Spirit is knocking on the door right now, saying, let me in, or let me out. We can then invite the communion, feast on the truth, feast on words of truth, feast on spiritual principle, and in through your communion with the divine. And then step out in faith and do what is yours to do from that space. As we practice our faith, we make space for grace. Let's know this together and speak this affirmation. Together, I practice faith and make space for grace.